The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Christ, who calls, dances, heals, rages, and waits, come into our hearts and teach us to be more like you, and to understand your word, and to grow your kingdom. In your name we ask. Amen. It is a delight to be here with you this morning. I've not been in my own churches very much recently. I've just come back from a holiday, had a lovely time camping down in Devon. So if I rattle on a little bit too long, it's because I haven't had a place to be able to let out over the last few weeks. So I apologise. But we've been camping. It's not longer the old style of camping, it's a bit of glamping really, a bit of electricity on the way. And as we went down, somebody jammed a DVD into my hand and said, you might like to watch this. As it happens, we could have perhaps ran out of time and didn't. I'm not much of a getting to the cinema or the theatres person. Time seems to get in the way, but by the time stories have worked their way down to DVDs or being on the television, I quite like them, I've got to say. This particular DVD was part of Churchill's life. It's called The Darkest Hour. I don't know whether any of you have seen it, but I found it quite fascinating, I have to say. He comes over as a man who had some wisdom to fit with the time and the challenges that were being faced. Not a perfect man by any means. None of us are. But we need people who are wise for their time. And as I was reading the passages for today, that's sort of the theme that came out to me about being wise for our time. I don't know how good your Old Testament storytelling is, but you may remember the story of Solomon. Solomon becoming king, the son of David, as he moves towards that role of taking up kingship, he's asked, well, what can I give you? And he says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Wisdom and knowledge, being wise for the time. And if you look at the story of Solomon, much that he did was wise. Like all of us, though, some of it was foolish and went astray. Look at the Oxford English Dictionary and you'll find wisdom defined as the capacity of judging rightly in matters relating to life and conduct. Sounds a bit posh to me, I've got to admit that it's more about just trying to make the right decisions. The good decisions for oneself, for one's family, for the community one is part of, for the wider world that is around. Isn't that what we want, to be able to make good decisions? Not just for ourselves, but for God's kingdom, for the communities we live in. And in today's reading that's taken from the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "Be very careful then how we live, not as unwise, but as wise." It's a word that's frequently used in the Bible, and I think it's a key part of what it is we're striving to do. And I don't know where you spot wisdom happening. If I'm honest, I see mostly it's seen on the edges of things. The everyday decisions we perhaps don't think need much wisdom. Things like, should I walk out into the middle of the moving traffic? We don't think we really need wisdom to do that, because it's just common sense that you don't step out. I'm a North London boy, yeah? Which meant that my wife and I, it was a bit of an adjustment when I started walking out into the traffic that was moving on occasions. I still have a habit of doing that. Should I leave my open wallet on the seat of a bus? Doesn't require much wisdom to say, actually, no, that would be a foolish thing to do. But it's on the edges of where decisions that are made so often that wisdom is really needed. Places of challenge, of controversy, places of pain. You'll probably remember the story of Jesus sitting by a street. An adult was brought up in front of him who'd been caught in adultery. And the crowd gathered around and said, should we stone them to death as the law says we should? And Jesus sits there, moving a stick in the soil, probably has a word with God the Father, I suspect, and says, well, what should we do here? And what does he say in response? Well, he who's not sinned can cast the first stone. Wisdom on the edge in difficult positions, challenging positions. Solomon needed that. We need that. Jesus showed it so often in his life. And Jesus promises that for us, that if we become part of his kingdom, he'll send his help to help us to make wise decisions. When Jesus came, lived with us, died for us, rose to life, somehow he did something that released to us God's Holy Spirit. And when we ask God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into us and gives us the wisdom that we need. It's an awesome truth that's been recognized since the very early days of the church. God released to us a gift to help us to be wise for our times. Isn't that what we want, to be wise for our times? And if you want wisdom, you probably need to look in the right places. I'm terrible at putting things down and forgetting where they are. Anybody else suffer from that? Yeah? I repeatedly put down my keys and search for a while and can't find them. End up turning to Mary, my wife, and she says, okay, so where do you remember seeing them last? Looking in a place that is sensible. Looking in a place that's a good place to look. Using a bit of wisdom, I suppose. I lost one of these little plastic boxes that goes with your bank card that allows you to get onto the internet. I'd put it away somewhere safe just before we went on holiday, and I knew exactly where I'd put it away somewhere safe. And then in the last hour, I had to take it out and use it, and I put it back somewhere else that was safe. And could I remember where it was? And I had to go to that sensible thing of saying, well, where should I look to find it? What are the sensible places? Where are the wise places to look to find it? And eventually I found it on the back pocket in the car, because I knew I was going away. What does Paul say? He says, be wise, not unwise, and effectively live in places where wisdom is likely to be found. I don't know what was going on in Ephesus at the time, but you sort of get the feeling that he was writing into a situation where there was a little bit too much drinking going on. Because he says, well, don't look to the places and get yourself filled up with wine. It'll lead to all sorts of nasty stuff. Get yourself filled up with God's Holy Spirit. Use wise decisions about the places that you look. I suspect that he could have chosen a whole list of other things that were unwise places to look. But that's the one that he picked on, because I suspect it was relevant at the time. He says, choose to put yourself in a good place, a place that will help you, a place where the Spirit can guide, and surround yourself with those good things. What is it that he says that we should surround ourselves with? Well, he should fill ourselves with music from the heart to the Lord, songs from the Spirit, hymns and psalms, just putting ourselves into a good place to make good decisions. It's so much easier. He says to consciously decide to put yourself in a place where there are going to be things that are good. We're so tempted sometimes in the world to take ourselves into places that are a bit dodgy, or to allow ourselves to drift into places that are a bit dodgy. And when we get into those places, making wise decisions becomes harder and harder and harder. It's about getting the right mindset. I did 20 years in education, and as I walk into schools these days, somewhere on the wall, somewhere, I expect to see a banner that says, we are a school with a learning mindset. Yeah. I think we're a church, the family of God, that should be saying, we're a family of God that believes we should have a wise mindset, looking for the things that are wise. That's why we pray before PCC meetings, before services, before we make big decisions, because we want God to help us to get our mindset sorted out so we're going to be able to make good decisions, right decisions. Do you remember the songs in Sound of Music? Any favourite ones? The hills are alive with the sound of music, yeah. Climb every mountain, though, were the ones I got at my 8 o'clock when I was preaching this morning. One of my favourite ones is the one that they sing when the thunderstorms strike and they're clustered together up in the bedroom that goes, raindrops on noses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, goes on and on and on. But the intention of it is to get themselves into a positive mindset rather than into a negative mindset, so that they can be wise about the way that they deal with the noise that is cracking up in the sky outside. Does have a downside in the story. If you follow the storyline through, they're in the churchyard trying to get away from the soldiers that are chasing them, and the little daughter says, is now a good time to sing about our favourite things? Not perhaps the ideal time then, but she'd learnt to get a positive mindset to deal with what was coming up so we could make wise decisions. Looking for things to be thankful for. I don't know whether you're people who are half cup full or half cup empty. I think the people of God, by their nature, when the Spirit works inside us, tends to make us to be people who see the cup, well, at least half full, surely. Filling up as well. What does he say in the Psalms that he wants for us? He wants our cup to overflow in abundance. When we can get ourselves into a place of a positive mindset, we're much more likely, I think, to be able to make wise decisions. It's probably why I try and avoid making decisions last thing at night. I might write a letter last thing at night, but I'm never going to send it, or an email last thing at night if it's got strong stuff in it. I always want to be able to wait until the morning, till the freshness of the day, to say, well, actually, is this a wise thing to be doing at the moment? We're a bit trapped in a world where instant responses are called for. I heard some really good news on Facebook that went online at about 10 o'clock last night. I think by 8 minutes past, there had been 8 responses to it. Click, 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 click. We're so into making quick responses. And sometimes it's wise to be quick, but often, if we've got things that we need to think about and to do rightly, then we need to give time to it, to be careful about it. So Paul gives us a whole chunk of strategies, I think, about trying to make wise decisions. He calls us to be wise. He tells us to avoid things that are likely to bring us into a place which will give us bad guidance, tells us to put us into a place where we'll develop a good framework, into a place that is filled with the things of the kingdom of God. And then lastly, well, how does that particular passage finish? It says, sing and make music for your hearts to the Lord. Always give thanks to the Lord, the Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us back to Jesus. Allow Jesus to shape what it is that we would do. Ensure that the thing that we're going to do, well, we would say actually Jesus would want to do it that way. Jesus would be happy doing it that way. Because when we come to looking at life that is wise, that is full, Jesus is our best example. We can track God's character through the whole of Scripture. But if we're asking the question, well, what does God look like? The best example that we find God in Jesus, God the Son. As we look at Jesus, we see the fullness of God's character revealed. How would Jesus handle it? Sounds like quite a simple thing to do. Well, what would Jesus do here? I'll do that. But actually, finding that out is quite hard when we're 2,000 years down the line from when he walked with us. When I'm looking at the gospel reading, I hear these words. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Lots inside there. But part of the key message is, to me is, know me so that I can feed you and guide you into good things. You see, the Pharisees had lost the plot so often that they had to. They were into concrete things. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? What's going on here? But Jesus wasn't talking in that literal sense here. Yes, later, when he's talking about the Last Supper and the bread and the wine, he's talking in a much more concrete sense about what's going on. But here, well, to me, it's saying, get me right the way inside you. Get me into every cell of your body. Then when you've got me into every cell of your body and you really know me, then you'll be able to make wise decisions. Then you'll be able to do the things that are good the way that I would do them. I'm absolutely delighted to be area dean. I didn't put my hand up, I have to say. It's one of those things that sort of comes in your direction. And I'm delighted to be involved in the process of finding the next leader for you, the next person who's replacing Tim. My prayer is that God will bring you a wise leader who will help you grow. We'll grow in wisdom, and as you grow in wisdom, that there'll be a blessing for everybody that is part of this fellowship. But beyond that, that it'll be a blessing for the wider church family, Anglican, ecumenical, all parts of it. And from that, that'll be a blessing that spills out to the community that is wider than that, to every part of the community that is around. Whatever faith, whatever creed, whatever walk of life, because of the presence of the kingdom of God being lived out in people's lives, wise things being done, which builds life in fullness. Back in the Old Testament again, as Isaiah was being called as a prophet, God said to him, "Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Israel and bring back those of Israel I have sent? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Isaiah was one man, but the calling that Isaiah has is a calling that the church has today. To be that light, to go out into the world, to bring salvation and life in fullness, which is God's desire for it all. We've just sung about Jesus Christ waiting, raging, healing, dancing, and calling. They're all outward things going out to the world. Might God give us wisdom as we step forward to build his kingdom in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our churches, and in the world that is around us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.